scrambled up the high board fence and disappeared over it. His Aunt Polly stood surprised a moment and then broke into a gentle laugh.
"Well, hang the boy. Can I ever learn anything? Ain't he played me tricks enough like that for me to be looking out for him by this time? Oh, but old fools is the biggest fools there is. Can't learn any old dog's new tricks, as the saying is. But my goodness, he never plays them alike 2 days. And how is a body to know what's coming? He appears to know just how long he can torment me before I get my dander up, and he knows if he can make out to put me off for a minute or make me laugh, it's all down again, and I can't hit him a lick. I ain't doing my duty by that boy, and that's the Lord's truth, goodness knows. Spare the rod and spoil the child, as the good book says. I'm laying up sin and suffering for us both, I know. He's full of the old scratch, but laws of me. He's my own dead sister's boy, poor thing, and I ain't got the heart to lash him somehow. Every time I let him off, my conscience does hurt me so, that every time I hit him, my old heart most breaks. Oh, well, well, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble, as the scripture says, and I reckon it's so. He'll play hooky this evening, and I'll just be obliged to make him work tomorrow to punish him. It's mighty hard to make him work Saturdays when all the boys is having a holiday. But he hates work more than he hates anything else. And I've got to do some of my duty by him or I'll be the ruination of the child.
Tom did play hooky, and he had a very good time. He got back barely in season to help Jim, the small colored boy, saw next day's wood and split the kindlings before supper. At least he was there in time to tell his adventures to Jim, while Jim did 3/4 of the work. Tom's younger brother, or rather half-brother, Sid, was already through with his part of the work, picking up chips, for he was a quiet boy and had no adventurous, troublesome ways. While Tom was eating his supper and stealing sugar as opportunity offered, Aunt Polly asked him questions that were full of guile and very deep, for she wanted to trap him into damaging revealments. Like many other simple-hearted souls, it was her pet vanity to believe she was endowed with a talent for dark and mysterious diplomacy, and she loved to contemplate her most transparent devices as marvels of low cunning. She said, "Tom, it was middling warm in school, aren't it?"
"Yes'm."
"Powerful warm, warn't it?"
"Yes."
"Didn't you want to go in a swimming, Tom?" A bit of a scare shot through Tom, a touch of uncomfortable suspicion. He searched Aunt Polly's face, but it told him nothing. So he said,
No'm, well, not very much."
The old lady reached out her hand and felt Tom's shirt and said, "But you ain't too warm now, though." And it flattered her to reflect that she had discovered that the shirt was dry without anybody knowing that that was what she had in her mind. But in spite of her, Tom knew where the wind lay now. So he forestalled what might be the next move. "Some of us pumped on our heads. Mine's damp yet, see?" Aunt Polly was vexed to think that she had overlooked that bit of circumstantial evidence and missed a trick. Then she had a new inspiration.
"Tom, you didn't have to undo your shirt collar where I sewed it to pump on your head, did you? Unbutton your jacket."
The trouble vanished out of Tom's face. He opened his jacket. His shirt collar was securely sewed.
"Oh, bother! Well, go along with you. I made sure you'd played hooky and been a-swimming. But I forgive you, Tom. I reckon you're a kind of a singed cat, as the saying is. Better'n you look this time."
She was half sorry her sagacity had miscarried, and half glad that Tom had stumbled into obedient conduct for once. But Sidney said,
"Well, now, if I didn't think you sewed his collar with white thread, but it's black."
"Why, I did sew it with white, Tom!"
But Tom did not wait for the rest. As he went out of the door, he said,
"Sidney, I'll lick you for that."
In a safe place, Tom examined 2 large needles which were thrust into the lapels of his jacket and had thread bound about them. One needle carried white thread and the other black.